So we're in the concluding stages of a series titled Created to Dream. We had 6 weeks of messages on Sunday morning. We had 6 weeks of life group studies during the week. And today is a wrap-up Sunday. I'd like to call it a celebration Sunday as we think about God taking an ordinary person like us, dropping an idea into our lives, and giving us a purpose going forward. Everybody here shares something in common, and here's what it is. We want to make our lives count, do we not, while we're here on earth? And the greatest dream or purpose that any person can ever live out is when we lay hold of God's purpose for our lives. So this series, Created to Dream, has been just that. And so we had two goals as we started the series, and here they are. The first one, if you already have a dream of your future in your life, that's a wonderful thing, that the series would just nurture it and water it. You would just continue to run with it. On the second part is this. Maybe you're a person and you're saying, you know what? I'm really not sure what God wants to do with my life going forward. And hopefully during those 6 weeks, he has downloaded or dropped an idea, a thought into your life that gives you a sense of purpose going forward. So those were our two goals, and I hope that each of you has connected in some way with that. So in your notes, there's a verse, Ephesians 3:20 from the Message Bible. I'd like for us to read it together. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. I want you to notice two times the phrase is there. It's working within us. You see, the dream is an inside job. It's something that only you can figure out through the help of the Holy Spirit of what God wants to do with the remainder of your life. He works within us. And so this is our year verse for the church for 2023. The NIV says God does immeasurably more. And there's different ways to define that, but God is at work within any person who is willing to yield their heart and listen for the God-inspired idea just for you. Not for the person next to you, but he has one for each person here today and everyone listening online. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to do a review of the 6 stages of faith and dreaming. And then I have a short message. And then we're going to listen to two people. They're going to come up front, and they're going to talk about a dream that is being played out in their life from maybe when it started as an idea or just how God has used them or others to fulfill that dream. So take your sermon listening guide, and let's get started. 6 stages of faith and dreaming. Here's the first one. It's when you and I have a dream, an idea. And a dream is a preferred mental picture of what God has for us in the future. It's a snapshot. It's a thought. It's an idea that gives us excitement and passion. So understand, a dream will always require your faith. The only way it'll be accomplished is if you continue to have faith, and it will never contradict God's word. Number two, this is a big one. It's the decision phase. In other words, there comes a point where you have to act on it. You see, many people talk themselves out of a dream. Everybody here understands that. There's no way that God could use me to do this. We talk ourselves out of it, and what we do is we put it on the shelf or we discard it. And we let it go. Rick Warren says, for every 10 dreamers, there's only one decision maker. the person who acts on it. So we have to let go of our security, invest time, money, and energy into it. We make that decision. Number three, there's always a delay in dreams being fulfilled. And isn't it true? You wish it was faster and it would come more speedily. Joseph waited 13 years for the fulfillment of his dream as a 17-year-old kid until he became 30 to become the new, number two person of Egypt. So there's a waiting period. And in the time that we're waiting, listen, God is working on us. The reason it doesn't always come instantly and overnight is because he is reworking us to prepare us for the greater blessing. Number four is difficulties. Difficulties pop up as we pursue our dream. And there's usually two problems. Here's the first one. Circumstances will seem to hold you back. God, you said it was going to be this way, but this is preventing me from accomplishing it. Another thing that happens is this. People will tell you that it can't be done. Everybody here has heard a voice come against a dream that you had. Let me just say this. Be very careful when someone shares a dream with you of how you handle it. If it's out of bounds, you can speak that if it's against Scripture. But if it's a dream that they feel like they have, be a supporter of other people's dreams. Because you want to encourage people as they move forward. So number five. The fifth stage is this. It's called dead ends. There will come a time in your dream journey that you'll feel like there's no way it could ever be accomplished. You're at a dead end. The children of Israel left Egypt, and they camped out by the Red Sea. And they looked up and they saw the Egyptians following them. They were following God's leadership and they were trapped. And they figured they would die. They were at a dead end. But you know what God did? He brought about the deliverance, the miracle that they needed. The Red Sea was split and they crossed on dry ground. You may be here today and you're at a dead end. You've been through a lot of stuff. You're still believing in something for the future, but you're stuck. And you might be in the very place just before God brings the deliverance, the sense of freedom, the sense of fulfillment, and your heart is hungry for it, but it's a dead end at the moment, which leads to part number six, the deliverance. That's when God comes through and provides for you. In the book of Job, the first, I believe, 38 chapters is about his struggle. And Job went through a lot, lost 10 children and lost his livestock, his health. And 38 chapters, then the first word of chapter 39 is this. Then the Lord spoke out of the storm. In other words, God stepped in and turned it all around. You may be here today, and that is your next phase of your dream. You're waiting for God to step in a then moment and bring great deliverance and fulfillment of your dream. So these are the six stages of faith and dreaming. So I'd like for you to flip your sermon listening guide over. And there's a couple verses there that we're going to read together, and I'm calling this Celebration Sunday because we just want to give thanks for all the dreams that God has placed in the hearts of us as a people. So read with me these two sections of Scripture at the top. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I want to share with you four simple thoughts about God's dream for your life. Number one in your notes. These promises are for male and female. They're for everybody. Notice with me in the verse in Acts, it says, your sons and daughters, nobody is excluded here. Therefore, every person, in other words, God makes promises for all people. Here's a quote. I'll have Jake put the picture up. A promise is a declaration from God himself. Someone has counted over 7,000 promises in the Bible. They are declarations from God himself to you and to me. When you and I get a hold of one, two, or three, or four, however many promises he speaks to your heart, here's what it is. It's a declaration that he wants to use you to do something powerful and amazing and impactful to make a difference in your life. Number two, the second truth about God's dream is this. They are for young people and old people. Notice with me it says, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Okay, everybody listen. Do not we often say, I'm too young for God to use me? And do not we often say, I'm too old for God to use me? I'm too insignificant. I'm too ordinary. And we find here the scripture says that there will be young men and there will be old men. And so the promise is for all people, young and old. Here's a quote from, Jake put a picture up. I've been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Here's what the psalmist is saying. Doesn't make any difference if you're 10 or if you're 80 or 90 years old. The promises of God are for all people. And he wants us to believe that and embrace that. And here's the next slide. God will fulfill his promises to you. When Joshua was old, he's at the end of his life. He said, you know what? There's not one promise that God did not fulfill in my life. He was faithful to fulfill them to me. The rainbow was put into the sky as a promise from God that he would never flood the earth again. It's our promise. It's his promise to us. His covenant, his holiness, that's what the rainbow represents. It's his covenant promise to us, but he will fulfill every declaration. Every promise he drops into your life that you believe and claim as your own. Number three, and this one is a very important one. Here's the third point. The third point about God's dream is this. They are for people who are willing to let go of their past. God is looking for people, who is willing to let go of their past. And here's why. Because if we hang on to the past, it is taking up room for what God wants to do in our futures. And we have to learn to let go of it and deal with our past. Now, we've talked about this before. Everybody here has things that we regret. And it's through forgiveness and grace from God and forgiveness toward ourselves, toward other people, that we become free of our past. And the best way to lay hold of the future that God has for us is when we free up space on the hard drive of the computer of our life. Say, God, I'm giving you that space for my future. Here's a quote. You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one. There's somebody here today that the greatest truth you're taking away from this entire morning is that. You're rereading the chapter that's already been lived, not only for the 10th time, but the 100th time or the 1,000th time. Grace frees us up from the past when we believe God's word that says we can be forgiven, we have to be healed, we have to work on it, but we get set free of being chained to our past so that we can live out our future. You can't live out the next chapter if you keep rereading the last one. Okay. And finally, number four. The fourth truth about God's dream is this. They are for people who have passion for God to do a new thing in their life. I want to talk about your passion this morning. What is it that gets you excited? What is it that you just love to do because you want to do it? You will sacrifice sleep and time just because you have passion for it. When God finds a person who has passion for him, they are setting themselves up for immeasurably more in their future. They are preparing their heart for God to step into their life and create something that has never been there before. But the person, you've got to have passion for it, and we have to focus on what God wants for our life. Here's a quote. A passion for God is the most attractive feature a man can possess. You want to make your life attractive? Become hungry and thirsty for what God wants for your life. It's called a new thing. In other words, you free up time and energy for pursuits of following him. And when you do that, let me tell you the payoff. Not only will people get excited when they look at your life, but here's the secret. You will become alive on the inside. If you're here this morning and you don't have an aliveness on the inside, can I tell you, when you lay hold of what you believe God wants you to do in the future, you will become excited, passionate, you'll be all in for the kingdom purposes he has for your life. One final slide. This is a picture of a person who is willing to say, God, here's my life. I may be young, I may be old, I may be male, I may be female, it makes no difference. I'm willing to let go of my past. I'm going to deal with it the best I can. I'm going to take you at your word and say, okay, forgive me, forgive myself. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to release it. I'm going to somehow free up space in my heart for the new thing. And listen, when you and I reignite our passion for God, we become focused on his purposes for our life. The mental portrait of what we want our future to look like is centered around him and his word. Let me tell you, it'll be like lighting a match in our hearts. And we will burn brightly, and we'll become excited about our future. That's the kind of dream God wants each person to experience. Now, let me say, this is an individual journey for your own life. But there's a second part to it. When God finds a group of people collectively, a church family, that has a passion, and all these individual matchsticks come together, the flame burns brighter, and he does things on a bigger scale because you don't have one person going after it. You may have 50 or 75 or 100. And when God finds a group of people like that, I tell you what, immeasurably more just happens. This year has been awesome in the life of the church. Many people have stepped up, and it's been one of the best ministry years for me personally. I'm excited about it. We got 2 months to go. I thought about 2024. I think it's going to continue. But the point is this, where's your passion? What do you get excited about? When the dream gets planted in somebody's heart, let me tell you, watch out, because they'll become on fire and you'll just be able to watch their life take a new turn, and a new thing will happen in them and through them and the people around them. So those are the four truths. Well, here's what we're going to do now. There's a couple people that are going to come up first, come up here on stage, and Laura Green is the first one. I'm going to ask her to come on up. And she's going to sit in this first chair. I'll be over there. And I'm going to do a little interview of Laura to talk about the dream that God has placed in her life. And then Pat is going to come up second. But Laura, let's welcome Laura, shall we? So, Laura Green, many of you know her, some of you may not, but she's got something that's been percolating in her life for some time, and it revolves around heaven and this heaven series she's been teaching. So, Laura, let's go back. How did you get so interested in the topic of heaven?
Well, I watch a few pastors on TV and came across one of them that was doing a teaching on heaven, and it kind of sparked my interest, and so I ordered some of it, and then later on, David Jeremiah did one, and it was more enhanced, it was more thrilling, it was more, I don't know, something just touched the inside of me, and I'm telling you, the love and passion for heaven, to learn all about it, and all I could, and to share it, just burst, okay. And I'm so excited.
So you can see that in it, right? So it was the whole idea of teaching others about heaven, so when you had this idea inside you that you wanted to teach on heaven, was it easy sailing, or what did you struggle with, or did you?
Well, when I first did it, it didn't click. It didn't go well. I got hurt, and I learned about the timing of God. And so anyways, I kind of backed off, and I said, you know what, Lord, you know, everybody says this is what I'm supposed to do, but you know what, I'm all done. I'm going to sit in the little side chair, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And so I did that. And then about a year later, David Jeremiah comes on TV again, and what's he doing? He's teaching on heaven. And that's when it really hit on the inside of me and took hold of me. And I bought the whole thing, and I sat on, and I started telling friends or family or whatever. I've always done Bible studies over the years, but around my kitchen table with family mostly. And so I started telling them. I never asked them about doing it. I said, you know, I got this heaven series. I really think I'm going to just get into it. And so, oh, what are you going to do? I want to do it. And so I ended up with, you know, God was so good to me because of what had happened before. He started me back out with family that I knew and other extended family that I knew. And so off it took, and then God just kept opening the door.
So what I heard you say is you had the idea and you pushed forward. You did a series, didn't go quite as good as you wanted it to, and you kind of backed off.
Oh, yeah.
So you went through the delay and difficulty stages, right? But you pushed through that, and tell us about where you see this going. I know you're planning to do another one, but you just want to teach people in heaven. But tell us where you'd like to see it go.
Well, I believe it's going to go anywhere and everywhere, and I'll tell you why. John and I went to vote back in June, I think. Anyways, we went to the voting thing. And we were leaving, and John stopped at a table to talk to somebody he knew, and I recognized a lady on the other side of that table, so I went around to say hi to her. Oh, my goodness, there laid right beside her the book from David Jeremiah on heaven. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, you're reading that? I said, I do a study on it. And she said, you do? And I said, yeah. And the bookmate got her really excited. And so, you know, I said, yeah, I've done it a few times. And well, let me know. Well, then you know, I said, well, I got to do this study thing for the church. And so anyways, a couple months went by from there, and I called her. I said, I haven't forgotten you. You're still interested? Yeah, and she had somebody else interested. And then I got into about 3 weeks ago. I just, believe it or not, I did not feel good. So I'm not doing what I'm called to do, and that was heaven. So I called her, and I said, you want to get through the holidays and start it? Do you want to just start it now? No, I want to start it right now, and we'll work around the holidays. So I'm in my third week of doing heaven here at the church. I not only am doing it with her and somebody else, I don't even really know these people that well, but I'm doing it with two from the church that got added. And then before Monday last week, I'm in the store, And I have somebody call out my name, and it's somebody that I've known over the years, don't see very often. I got talking to her, tell her what I'm doing. She's now coming. She wanted to come, and so she's coming. So I've gone from 2 to 4 to 5. So God wants heaven out there. God wants people to know. And the reason why is, you know, people are dying and going to hell, and we've got to get it out. And I use hell as a, heaven as a salvation. I can't even talk. I'm so excited. As a salvation, because if you talk about heaven, then you got to talk about hell. But the thing of it is that if you want to go see everything that heaven has, you got to go in one way, and you got to go through Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And not only that, but the rapture can take place at any minute, and we're going up. And we want to take everybody with us.
Do you think she's excited?
Amen.
Anyway, so
if you haven't taken the heaven series, I'm going to continue it.
So the exciting thing is, it started with an idea. She acted on it, and it's grown, and you've been through the series many times.
Five.
Five times.
Fifth time.
Fifth time. So anyway, let's give Laura a hand. It's a great story. Thank you so much, Laura. And if you want to be a part of that, she'd be glad to have you in the class. So I'll ask Pat to come forward. So during this series, Pat brought something I thought was interesting. What perked her interest was somehow, how did this church get started in the first place? Now understand, this church was formed in 1898, which is 125 years ago. And so Pat felt nudged or kind of inspired to look into the history of, okay, who started this and where did it come from? So Pat, maybe you could go back to that pre-1898 date and just talk to us about what you found out.
Yes. Well, it was last Sunday when I sat there and Pastor Larry said something about the church going forward. The Lord spoke to my heart, look up the history. I want to know the person that God used to start the church here. Well, anyway, his name is George Brazee. And he lived over in Harvard, New York at the time in the 1860s. And there was an old log schoolhouse that said situated in the Chinhapel Flat area on the east branch of the Delaware River. And I'm sure someone or someones had been praying for George, that George would want to have a desire to know Jesus and to have a personal relationship. Well, he ended up serving in the Civil War, which was, of course, in the 1800s, 1860s. And he served and came out of that. And shortly before, just as the war was over, this is my guess, it's not specific here, but he went to a service, a revival service, at the old log schoolhouse in East Branch, Harvard area, Chinhapel. And he became a Christian. He was so on fire for the Lord, excited, he wanted to tell his friends, his neighbors, and shared.
So here's a guy, it's the late 1800s. He gets saved, he gives his life to Christ, as you shared, Pat. So talk to us a little bit about then, what do you think happened? He eventually was a part of starting this church, correct?
Eventually, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, he became a lay pastor, a local pastor, after he came to know the Lord, and he had people helping him learn and grow. He became a member at the Harvard, New York Free Methodist Church. And he also was connected with the Liberty New York Church as a member there, a local preacher. And so God was using him for 4 years there in the area, in Harvard and Chinhapel area and all that.
So here's a guy, just an ordinary guy like us, and he has an experience with Christ. He comes to faith. He grows deeper in his relationship with Christ. And then what do you think happened next, Pat, in terms of our church and its beginning?
Well, somehow the Lord spoke to him to move to Walton, New York, which he did. He brought his wife with him, and he bought land. He purchased a farm of 50 acres of land in Walton somewhere. And his occupation was lumbering and farming. But knowing him, what we know of him, he was going to share his faith with people all around. And his home, he and his wife invited many people to come in, Sunday after Sunday to come in. It was a small group, but he worked with them, and many of them became Christians.
So what's interesting here is an ordinary person found Christ, God grew him in maturity, and then he must have rallied other people around him and literally said, let's form a church. And so I believe our church, this church, was May 5th, 1898. I think that was the dedication date, something like that. Mm-hmm. But the point is this, that was 125 years ago. So we are here today living out a dream that somebody had 125 years ago, or a group of people. Now here's the application, folks. What is it in your life and mine that will be alive 125 years from now? Because you followed your dream, and we collectively followed a dream. What could God birth in you, through you, like he did this guy that Pat's talking about, and we're here today in fulfillment of that dream? So, Pat, anything else you want to share there?
Yes, this is actually the third facility. The first one that he helped erect with others was on St. John Extension Street, up past the Babcocks. There's a little side street up there. So it was dedicated June 4th, 1898. Yes. And he paid for carpenters, he paid for builders, and at that point, they had a revival service 9 weeks before they were about going to start this, and that's how the church really bloomed. People from Dryden Brook and around, and some of Loretta's, her great-grandparents, were part of that a little later on.
Very good.
And they're still part of the church now. Not those people, but Loretta and her family.
So here's another thought as we kind of wrap up here. It says he invested a lot of his own time and money into the fulfillment of the dream, the church. Your dream's going to cost you. Can I just tell you, it's not going to be an easy deal. You're going to have to give your time, your talent, resources. It's going to cost you. But you know what? That's okay. That's how dreams work. We are here today, 125 years later, partly because of this guy who rallied other people, and it's just kept going and it's kept alive. The point is, he could take you today and do something that can be alive in another 100 years. Isn't that amazing? All because of you following your dream. Hey, let's give Pat a hand. I appreciate her taking the time. Thank you.